And out of Deuteronomy chapter 2, we are going to be reading four verses. First of all, we'll read together on verses 5 and 6. So Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, and then we'll jump over to verses 27 and 28. So tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 2, let's begin reading verses 5 and 6 both together. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. And now skip over with me to verse 27 and verse 28. Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money, that I may eat, and give me water for money, that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet.
We sing the song, "This world is not my home," and that is true. But we live here. This is where our feet walk. This is where our hands reach. Yes, our citizenship is in heaven, but we're here. The old saying that has become trite yet still true is, I think about the sweet by and by, but we all live in the nasty now and now, and that's all true. But we do live here. We're not in heaven yet. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came back tonight? I think about that so often. If the Lord, it's not going to be a disappointment in me if the Lord chooses to come back this evening or any time tonight, and I mean that. And I think a lot of churches have deteriorated in so many ways because they don't pay attention to the Old Testament stories. Yes, we are a New Testament Bible-believing church. That's what we are. We make no apology for it. But I think many churches today have forgotten the admonition that God gave the Apostle Paul that he gave to the Corinthian believers when he simply said to them, those Old Testament stories, they're an example for you. In other words, you can learn from the Old Testament. You can learn from Psalm 23. You can learn from Psalm 91. You can learn from the book of Proverbs. You can learn from 1 and 2 Kings. You can learn from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and on through all the rest of them. We can learn lessons from them because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, the Bible says. And that means even the Old Testament history part or the Old Testament stories that are found there are profitable for us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the Word of God says. Why? That the man of God may be perfect or that he may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's what God wants for us. And tonight, we're going to look at one of those Old Testament stories that God gave us, where the Apostle Paul said, you can learn from that story. And yes, we can learn from that story. Tonight's message has a simple title, and that is this, As You Journey Through the Land. As you journey through the land. The history here that we're looking at is the Jews are now coming to the door of the promised land, and Moses realizes that he doesn't get to go in with them. Remember, he disobeyed the Lord. He could not go into the promised land. And remember, the promised land is not a picture of heaven, though it has been preached that way. No one is forbidden from going to heaven who's put their trust in the Lord Jesus. The promised land is a picture of the Spirit-filled life, and Moses blew it by too much disobedience. He struck the rock instead of speaking softly to it, and God held that against him. He should have obeyed the Lord as he went to that rock to get water for the people. The Jews got to go to the promised land now, but the land of Moab, which pictures the world, lies between them and the promised land. And we're not talking about Moab, Utah, Brother Penn, just so that you know. And I know you say you'd love to go back to Moab. Well, I hope it's not the one in the Bible, only the one that is in Utah. Well, they have a choice. They have to go through Moab to get, they have no choice. They have to go through Moab to get there. If they're going to get to the promised land, they have to go through Moab. There's no choice on their part. And though the promised land does not accurately picture heaven, many people use it as a picture of heaven, it's only a type of the fact that we as Christians have no choice. On our way to heaven, we have to go through this world. That's what we do. When you got saved, look, I got saved 1964, 62 years ago. Think about that. 62 years ago. And if I was supposed to go to heaven right away, I wouldn't be here tonight. No, I've had 62 years to serve the Lord and do what the Lord's will is in my life, you see. And if we would get saved and immediately go to heaven, well, God has a plan for our lives. Like I said this morning in Sunday school, God has a plan for each of us. See, we're saved by grace through faith, and we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. But we do live here now. We're not in the promised land. We are on our way. We are not in heaven. We are here. Our citizenship may be there, but our bodies are here. And so God has some instructions. And so here we are. We have no choice about where we're going to be. We're on our way toward heaven. Listen, if it comes tonight or if it comes in 10 years from tonight, we're on our way to heaven. I'm on my way to Canaan land. Another one of those songs that I learned as a teenager. I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way, praise the Lord, to Canaan land. Yes, but I'm here now. So how am I supposed to act while I'm here? Does God give us any instructions? Well, we can learn from the instructions that Moses gave to the people as they were on their way to the promised land. The important thing to know is how to behave as we go through this old world. And many believers today have forgotten how they're supposed to behave. The clear instructions are given here in Deuteronomy, and the verses that Brother Penn read with us a moment ago. We're going to take that as an example to teach us how to behave as we are on our way to Canaan land, you see. So keep that in mind. We have to pass through some foreign territory, a worldly land, a land of idolatry, a land of enmity with God. They had to pass through that land. That's the kind of land that we live in right now. And it doesn't take anybody with a brainstem, and if that's all they had was a brainstem, to figure out this old world is pretty nasty against God right now. It's just an amazing thing. And it doesn't get better and better. It just seems like as the Bible says, we're living in perilous times, and the sins of this world are waxing bigger and bigger and grosser, as the Word of God would use that terminology. And here we are. I mean, yes, it's the same old sin. Yes, it's the same old devil. But listen how convenient it is now. People used to have to go to the store to buy their pornography. Now they can carry it in their pocket. Think about how easy that is for them. All kinds of different things. And the world has changed. The sins have just they've become more overt, I believe, as the time has gone on. So, but we're alive during this time right now. We are on our way. We have to travel through this land. Now, as God's people, how are we supposed to act while we're here? Well, I want to give you this from the passages that we read a moment ago. I'll give you just a few points tonight. They are enumerated, but you can write them down if you wish. Number one, we are not to enjoy the thrills of Moab. Let me say it again. We are not to enjoy the thrills of Moab. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 5. Meddle not with them. For I will not give you their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Look at the little words that are found in this phrase. It says, meddle not with them. This has a dual meaning. I will give you the dual meaning on another point. But the meaning of this is simply this, is don't be thrilled with them. Though we must live in the world, we're not to be lured in by the thrills of the world. And there are lots of so-called thrills in this old world. Things that they advertise that make you happier, or whatever it might be. Things that will make you bigger and better and more wonderful and all the rest of it. And yet many believers today are lured into that. All these self-help books and all the different things that people are finding out there. Though we must live in the world, we are not to be lured by the thrills of the world. How could anyone who has crossed the Red Sea find any thrills in Moab? Did you know that the crossing of the Red Sea is the most oft mentioned miracle in the entire Bible? More than salvation, more than anything, no matter what it might be, more than creation, more than any other miracle that God had done, the one that is mentioned more than anything is the crossing of the Red Sea. Wow. And yet God says, listen, you saw that. Don't get thrilled with what's going on in Moab. How could anyone who's followed a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night find any thrills in Moab? Think of what they had seen. This pillar of fire, this pillar of cloud, that God protected them. Think about that. And then they want to get excited about the things that are in Moab. Nuh-uh. How could anyone who has received manna from heaven miraculously every single day while they were there, how could they be thrilled with what Moab had to offer? You know, of all things, God fed them miraculously. The manna came down from heaven. What does manna mean? It means, what is it? They didn't know what it was. And they say that it tasted sweet like honey. I guess it did. I've never seen the manna from heaven. But that's what they say. And they saw God provide for them morning and evening and took care of every need that they had. And their shoes never wore out. He says, you don't need to get excited about the things of Moab. You've seen the things that God can do. How could anyone who's been fed water from a rock in Horeb because of Moses smiting the rock and God's blessing upon it find any thrills in Moab? They had seen the very hand of God. They had seen the miracles that God could do. And he says, listen, don't meddle with them. Don't get excited about what Moab has to offer. When you look off and you see their Ferris wheels and their gambling casinos and their whorehouses and all the rest of it, he says, don't get excited about what they're offering you. You've seen the very hand of Almighty God take care of you, deliver you from Egypt. Wow, the same thing is true with God's people. How could anyone born again who has received the forgiveness of sins find any thrills or in the synthetic excitement of the world? God ought to be our everything. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave himself for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now, how about you? And yet there are many believers today that find the thrills of Moab more than anything. They meddle with Moab. And God said to his people here, don't get excited about what thrilled you in Moab. Yeah, you'll be walking along the road and you'll see the signposts and you'll see the brothels and you'll see the taverns and you'll see all the different things that they have to offer. He said, don't be excited about that. Just realize what God has brought you through. And God did bring them through a lot. You know, I don't know of what God has in heaven for us to view the past miracles, but you know, I would really like to see the crossing of the Red Sea. I hope he's got a VCR up there or a DVD player or some kind of a recorder or whatever and says, everybody just sit down. I want to show you the miracles. I'd love to be able to watch that. I really would. I'd love to be able to see how the people handled the plagues in Egypt. I'd love to be able to see the manna coming down from heaven. I'd like to see what God did. And God said to his people, don't get thrilled with what the world has to offer you. Too bad many believers today have gone totally against that. Maybe they didn't read this story. I don't know. There's another way that we're supposed to behave. Number one, I said, we're not to enjoy the thrills of Moab. But number two, God's people here were not to have friction unduly with the Moabites. Say, what do you mean? He's supposed to get along. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 5, once again, this is the dual meaning of the words meddle not. And notice again in verse 5, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. And again, notice those words in the previous warning, meddle not with them. I say a dual meaning because there are many words in the Bible that carry a dual meaning. I think about the word eternal and everlasting. A little Greek word in the New Testament, it's called aion. Just a small little Greek word. It means two things. Number one, it means eternal, like forever. That's why I have eternal life, everlasting life. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's the little word aion. But it also means a quality of life. So it has a dual meaning. Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what did Jesus tell him? He went through the Ten Commandments. And he said, all those things I've kept since my youth. And then Jesus said, well, sell everything you got and give your money to the poor. And he couldn't do it. Is that how people were supposed to get saved in the New Testament under Jesus' ministry? No. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to have a quality of life? He lived right, and he says, be sacrificial. And he couldn't do it. And you know as well as I do that the self-centered life is a very empty life, and the self-emptied life is a very centered life, and you understand that. But in the Bible, and that's why I say many words have a dual meaning. This one here, meddle not, means don't have friction with them. Don't have friction with them. Moses was basically saying, okay, you've got to go through Moab to get to the promised land. That's what you got to do. You don't have a choice. Point A to point B is through Moab. You don't have a choice how you're going to get there. And he says this, be kind to the Moabites. Have a good testimony. Act like you're one of God's people. Where God says you do this, he says, I'll be a God to you. I'll be like a father to you. He wants us to live like Christians in this old world. Oh, be sure, have convictions and stand your ground and don't compromise and fight for the truth. Yes, of course we're supposed to do that. But be as kind as possible in your life to the world around you. Just because they know not the Lord doesn't mean you ought to be unkind to them. You need to be kind. What do I tell you that I do every time I see somebody that's out in public? I say, howdy, howdy. I don't ask them if they're saved first. I don't find out where they go to church or even if they go to church. I say, howdy, howdy. Or the other day, well, I must be getting old. An old man held the door open for me at the post office. You know you're getting old when an old person holds the door open for you. And I looked at him and I said, thank you very much. But how many times have I held the door open for someone younger than me, older than me, whoever it might be, opposite sex from me, and they just walk past? No words of gratitude, no thanks or of any kind. Be filled with gratitude and be kind to those around you. You don't have to be ugly to them. By the way, what did the Apostle Paul say? Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. You ought to mark it down because he does not talking here about admonishing to be this way only to Christian people. He says in Romans 12, 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You see, you don't have to walk around with a chip on your shoulder. You stand your ground. Keep your convictions. Be strong in what you believe. Don't compromise for any reason. Don't back off or anything else. Take a stand. Be what you ought to be. The Bible says we're to contend for the faith, but it doesn't say we're to be contentious, you see. And he told them, don't have friction with them when you don't have to have it. What does he say in the New Testament? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. So what do you do when you run out of cheeks? Well, he didn't give any instruction beyond that. But he says when somebody takes your coat, he says they want this, give them your coat as well. He says someone smites you on the cheek, turn around and let them hit the other cheek as well. In other words, he wants us to get along with folks. Why? Because by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have loved one to another, each other, and God's people not fighting with one another. Amazing thing here. And let me just say it again. This is basically what he's saying in this little phrase, meddle not with them. He's saying, you have to go through Moab. You don't have a choice about it. You're going from Egypt. You're going to the promised land. You have no choice of where you're going to be. You have to get there this way. There are no alternatives. This is it, the only road. There are no exits. And a little bit ago when Brother Penn was reading the scriptures to us, I thought of Dr. Lee Robertson when he always talked about not going to the left hand nor to the right. And he said, you go through the land. But he said, don't get in a fist fight just because you're going through their land. It is their land, you see. And so the Apostle Paul said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And there's a third instruction that he gave. He said, first of all, we are not to enjoy the thrills of Moab. Meddle not. He says, we're not to have unduly have friction with them. Meddle not. Once again, the dual meaning of the phraseology. Number three, they were to avoid entanglements with them. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 27. You have your Bible there. It says, let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. And notice these words, let me pass through thy land. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. What's he saying? Don't get entangled with them. Don't let your life get all entangled in this old world. Though we are to be nice And though we are to be courteous to the people of the world, we are not to become tangled up in them or entangled with them. In other words, we're not to belong to their worldly churches, to get involved in their worldly churches. You know, there was even a church down in Canyon City, I believe it is, years ago. It might even still be there. It was a goth church. They had their goth music, their goth blood and sacrifice. Their favorite story in the Bible was the crucifixion because it involved blood and all the rest of it. It had the black lips and the black fingernails and the black hair and the white makeup around the eyes and all the rest of it. Oh, that's just acting like the devil worshipers, even though they say they're worshiping Christ. Don't get involved or belong to a worldly church. Don't participate in ungodly activities, neither enter into ungodly business with someone. That's why the Bible tells about saved and unsaved should not go into business with each other, you see. Or enjoying ungodly amusements. God wants us to not get involved and get buried in the things of this old world. And he did not want his people to become like the Moabites. And he knew that the longer they would sit across the table from them, that eventually they would like them and perhaps want to be just like them. We're not to become entangled with the world, even though we have to go through the world in order to get to heaven. Think about that. We don't have a choice. We really don't have a choice. You were born again. Heaven is way out there in the future. This is where we live. Someone says, don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, I don't mind being heavenly minded. It keeps everything in focus the way that it ought to be in my life. Yes, it does. But I live here. And I'm not supposed to become entangled in the things of this world, as he told his people not to become entangled, you see. Notice again in verse 27, if you would please. He said, I will go along by the way. Moses told the people to stay on the highway and not to get off into the scrubs or wander off into off the highway into the Moabite country. He said, stay on the road. You know, Abraham Lincoln said this, no man ever got lost on a straight road. Abraham Lincoln was right. And he's encouraging his people here, stay on the road. Don't go to the right hand. Don't go to the left hand. Because on the right hand and on the left hand are the Moabites. And the thrills of the Moabites, and the ways of the Moabites, and the brothels of the Moabites, and the taverns of the Moabites, and the entertainment of the Moabites, and the language of the Moabites, and all the rest of, even a story in the Bible where God's people got so entangled with people that their speech was no longer God's speech. It was half of one nation and half of another because they got entangled with them. You see, their only business in Moab was to march through on the way to the Promised Land. That's the only business they had. The only business we have on this earth right now is that we're on our way to Canaan land. We're not supposed to take exits and detours, getting off in the entanglements of the world around us, because it will ruin us. You know, all of us have been saved long enough that we know there have been many tragedies in the Christian community where a Christian would get involved in something. Listen, some Christians get involved in gambling. They get involved in unsavory practices. They get involved in all kinds of things that they should not be involved with. A true story that happened a number of years ago, an individual that lived in Colorado, he and his girlfriend lived here in Colorado, and he ended up prayed for him to get a job. Oh, he needed a job so bad so that he could make the right decisions. And he ended up getting him a job working in a pornography shop. A pornography shop? I'm sorry, that's a detour off the main road. Was he born again? Can't judge that. Don't know. I'm not about to make a judgment on that. I can tell you this. It was a detour into Moab. And it should have never been taken. And you know, the interesting thing is many believers get involved in all kinds of things. Everything from cheating on taxes and everything from cheating on their spouses and everything from gambling, as I mentioned a moment ago, or unsavory practices in this world. You say, are they born again? Again, I'm not spiritual enough to judge whether or not they are truly born again. I got out of that business a long time ago of judging somebody's salvation. Leave that up to the Lord. He either saved them or he didn't. That's his business. It did not mean for them to become entangled with them. Brief, it said be friendly. We're to love them. Yes, we're to witness to them, but we're not to get involved in their worldly activities. You see, And the world invites us to do many things. And we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in those activities of this old world. This old world has nothing good to offer us. How are we supposed to behave as we're on our way to heaven? Like I said, we're stuck here. We don't have a choice, ladies and gentlemen. You got saved, and if he doesn't take you to heaven the moment you receive Christ as your Savior, you're living down here. Yes, your citizenship is in heaven. Yes, this world is not your home. Yes, heaven is where we're going to end up for all of eternity. Praise the Lord, the mansions in glory that we hear about, those wonderful mansions that God has, that Jesus has been building, as he said in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Yes, we have all that to look forward to. But right now we're living down here. I'm not living in my heavenly mansion. I'm living over there. I'm living over on Northwoods Drive West. Right now, 775, that's where my residence is. My church is 512 Cannon Avenue. That's where I live. Heaven is in the future. But while I'm here, I've got to pass through this world. So how are we supposed to behave? I gave you three things already, and then I'll give you the last one. We're not to enjoy the thrills of Moab. They are not to have friction unduly with the Moabites, learn to get along with people. Thirdly, they were to avoid entanglements with the Moabites. And number four, they were to be honest. Honest, yes. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 6, look what it says. "Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink." Now jump down to verse 28. You may have to turn the page. It says, "Thou shalt sell me meat for money, that I may eat, and give me water for money, that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet." It's interesting. He says, I'll pay my way. I'm going to be honest. Notice that they were to pay for what they bought. They were to be honest in their dealings, and this is very important. Not like the group in Woodland Park that would walk into a business and say, "I've been praying about this, and the Lord wants you to give me this." And there were, that did go on. They finally found out what was going on and did their best to put a stop to that from all those so-called Christian students. What a terrible testimony. "I believe you're supposed to give me this haircut. I believe you're supposed to give me these groceries. I believe God wants you to give me these things." Somebody said that to me, I'd say, "No, you can pay double." God didn't tell you that. I'll guarantee it. Now, if he tells me and prompts my heart to give you something, that's different. But he's not going to tell you to tell me to give him what he wants. The Moabites should not be able to look at the Jews and say, "Well, they're just going to the promised land, but they don't pay their debts. They're maybe going to the promised land, but you can't trust them. You can't say that they're honest. They're dishonest people," and all the rest of it. "They're liars. They're not honest people. They don't pay their debts on time like they're supposed to." No. He said, when you go through the land, you leave a good testimony. You pay. And what have I said to you many times? When you pay your bills, put a track in it. But I always used to say it like this, more than I do now, because you all have gone way past that. And that is this: when you pay your bills on time, put a track in the envelope. Be a testimony wherever you go. And you see, what a sad commentary it is when the devil's people can point to God's people and say that we're not dependable, or that we are not honest, or that we don't pay our way. He told them, when you pass through the land, you buy what you drink and eat. Don't expect them just to give it to you. And if someone gives you something along the way, that's different. But he says, you be honest. And you know, in today's world, there are so many believers that have chosen a dishonest route. I've known some, and so have you. And what a terrible testimony that is. My preacher used to call that a testifony. He called it a testifony. Yeah, that one stuck with me, because many testimonies are no more than testifonies because of the dishonesty of some of those who claim to be God's people. Now, no doubt, there were many other things that Moses told the people. He would, of course, want them to be friendly. He'd want them to be kind. He'd want them to be helpful. And the Lord Jesus even told us that we're not of the world, but we are in the world. And while we are in the world, we're even to spread the gospel and tell people about Jesus. And since we are not of the world, we are not to dress like the world, sing like the world, act like the world. We are not to copy the fashions of the world, or the lingo of the world, or the music of the world, or the radio programs of the world, or any of the other things of the world. Why? Because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And he told his people in Deuteronomy, you keep a good testimony among these unsaved heathen people. You don't want them coming against you because of your testimony. Yeah, we have to be in the world. And yes, we should be nice. And we should be honest. And we should not become part of the world system. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says it all. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It didn't say that he wasn't saved. It said the love of the Father was not in him if he loves the things of the world. And so we're even given this same admonition in the New Testament. It's no wonder the Apostle Paul said those Old Testament stories are examples to us who live in New Testament times. So let us live that the Moabites can look at us and say, the Lord hath done great things for them. You see, that's the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to have good attitudes when we're working. We can whistle while we work or whatever it might be, whatever you want to do to be happy. Not be grumblers and complainers, you see, in every thing that we do. The Bible says in Psalm 126 and verse 2, that says, the Lord hath done great things for them. When we live that way, they're going to realize there's something different about every one of us, and they may criticize us because of our position, but they should never be able to criticize any of us for our disposition. Praise the Lord for the position you take. Live right, do right, stand right, hold your convictions, don't give up on those. But don't let people judge you because of a bad disposition. My goodness, that ruins testimonies, and we end up with what's called a testifoning. They should never criticize us because of our disposition or because of our dishonesty or because of our unkindness or because of our bad spirit or whatever it might be. We have to go through Moab. Let's be careful how we behave. And he gives us these admonitions. Now, we could have gone to the New Testament and taught every one of these points. But the Old Testament is where they were founded. And they are taught in the New Testament as well. And Paul said, pay attention to those stories. There's a lot you can learn from those stories in the Old Testament. They are examples for every one of us. Don't skip over them. Well, I thought you were a New Testament church. And I am. Paul said that in the New Testament. He said, pay attention to the Old Testament because there the stories are that can teach us. Let's be careful how we behave. Let us stay on the highway and be the kindest folks that we can be to the people of Moab. Let's not turn to the left hand or to the right. Let's take the admonition of Dr. Lee Robertson and stay right on the road. Never turn to the right, never turn to the left. Stay right in the middle of the road like we're supposed to, you see. And as Abraham Lincoln said, no man ever got lost on a straight road. And that's true. But many a believer today has not become lost, but has gotten lost by taking a detour off of the road. And they wonder, how did I get this far? How did I get this far away from the Lord? How did I get so bad in my living? Well, I'll tell you how. They took a turn to the right hand or to the left hand. They got back into Moab and took up some of their habits. And so as we think about that, the title of the message tonight was very, very simple. As you journey through the land, remember this world is not your home. You may live here, but your home is in heaven. And our citizenship is there as well. And let's pray.